Okay. We left off in Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 10. I think we got to verse 10 last time. And we've covered Paul's apostleship, his authority. We've covered his meeting with Peter and James, or in order, to say it as it was in order, James, Cephas, and John. We noticed last week that Peter had given up his leadership position as far as being the first of the 12. And anybody remember why that was important? Why that was so important? That Peter's listed second in chapter 2 and verse 9. The diminishing of their ministry. All right. Anything else? Annette? Where Peter, well, he looked at James, Cephas, and John,
who seem to be pillars.
We looked at it in Matthew, where the Lord had said something to Peter. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And we noticed that Peter, instead of being the first now, he's listed second. And it's not, I think somebody said they had a quorum, but the three apostles together, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So they meet, Paul goes up and he meets with Peter or James, Cephas, and John, and they make a spiritually binding contract, so to speak, where Peter and James, Cephas, and John release their authority really to go to the circumcision, unsaved circumcision, with the gospel, with their gospel.
You said unsaved circumcision.
Yes, that's what I meant.
That's what he said.
Okay. Let's look at the verse. Let's see this. Okay. That's verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Now, this is Paul. This is Paul speaking, and it's interesting. A pillar does what?
Supports the roof.
It's built on a foundation. So he's saying these three apostles who seem to be holding up this program, he says, I went to them. All right. Mm-hmm. And communicated unto them that gospel that I preach among the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Just to recap. And they saw. That they saw what I did among the Gentiles, and they perceived it, and they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. There's their authoritative relinquishing of their duties.
That's their loosing.
Loosing, right. Whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay. And he says this, verse 9, and when they saw the grace that was given to me, and they gave unto me, to me and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, which is ethnos or Gentiles or nations, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, which is Jewish believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, well, we won't say, it doesn't say Jewish believers, so let's just say Jewish to the Jews, to the circumcision. Okay. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Okay. Now, as soon as we'll look back at Acts 15 just for a minute. This is after the meeting, right? Acts 15. What would you expect Paul to do from this meeting they just had? What would you expect Paul to do?
Go to the Gentiles.
To the what? To the Gentiles, to the uncircumcision, right? And Peter and James and Cephas, James and John would go
to the circumcision.
All right. Because they just did what?
Agreed.
They just agreed on it. Okay. Acts 15.
Good verse.
Verse 36. We'll skip a little bit just for time's sake. They get through in the meeting, verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 11. Chapter 16, verse 11. Therefore, loosing, he's beginning his second journey. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief part of that city of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither. Now, He's dropping the, what's that?
No, I'm just repeating the women to the women.
To the women. But he's dropping some key words. Sabbath, mm-hmm. Prayer was what to be made. Who would you expect to be praying on the Sabbath?
Jews.
You say, well, it doesn't say for sure that they were Jews. But, again, you would have to.
We can venture they're not heathen.
Right. They're not heathen, right. These are religious people. Alright. So look at verse, we're gonna move around here. This is in Philippi. So let's just say, it doesn't say for sure, but we're gonna say that those are Jewish believers. Okay? Alright. Acts 17. He's going to Thessalonica. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as he agreed with the three, did not go into the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
uh-oh. 17.
Okay.
But it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went where?
Into the synagogue.
And three Sabbath days did what? Where was he?
In the synagogue.
Why?
Because he's talking to the Jews.
Why?
Because they need to be saved too.
But he goes in. Didn't he just agree to not go to the Jews?
He was not doing his job.
But you know what? He was doing his job.
Was it?
Because something, I think, I don't know if we mentioned that last week, but something Paul knows now, and I'm sure that he related to those apostles in the meeting. Paul knows now that there's no difference. God is not recognizing them as the privileged Jews now. So he's free to go to the synagogue and treat them just like a heathen. Watch this verse. Look at Matthew chapter 17. And then we'll go back to, not 17.
What are you looking for?
It says, when you take the brother to the council, and when you, if he doesn't believe you the first time, then you take with you a witness. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't believe you that second time, then it says, he shall be unto you like a heathen. I thought it was 17, but it's not. 18?
Yeah, it is.
It is 18?
18, 15.
Yeah. There you go.
You were close, right?
18:15. All right. He says, moreover, verse 18:15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a what? And a... And then look at the next verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall be, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, that's very interesting in the light of what happened in Galatia. Because you got the two or three men here, right? Mm-hmm. They have already witnessed to the nation, 12 of them. Is that a strong witness? And they have rejected the 12. They rejected the Lord. They rejected the 12. And now you're down to three people. And they go into the meeting, and Paul explained to them the new gospel. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what? That explains a lot. We understand that. We see that things are different now. So with this, he's talking about the nation now. They have to be... What?
I'm just thinking, isn't that the truth about right division? That explains a lot now.
Yeah. What, right division? Oh. But once you know that that had to take place, them considering the nation as heathen now. Because otherwise, Paul would have no grounds to go into the synagogue.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if he did, they can send for Paul and Barnabas, well, Paul, and say, you just met. We just met about this. Why are you going to the Jews? Stick with the Gentiles. But he goes to the Jew in every city that he goes to.
So are you saying that that's because just in that period of time the nation's been set aside, so they're now just individuals, just like this?
Exactly. Because one of the things that, and we haven't gotten that far in Galatians, one of the things that Paul emphasizes is that he had been told by the Lord that there is no difference now between the Jew and the Greek. So that's the benefit of the revelation.
He also
also told him, I'm sending you to the Gentiles and to kings and to the
children of Israel. And you know what's interesting? He lists them last, the children of Israel, but Paul is going there first.
Even though there's no difference.
And it, and he does say a few things about his love for his brethren. But you see this period of time where what he does is he's drawing out a remnant to provoke them to jealousy. And so what if you see the Gentiles, when we talked about it last week, you see the Gentiles speaking in tongues, performing these signs and miracles, and then you're a Jew.
Wait a minute. That was our deal.
Right. Wait a minute. And here's a man, he's never been in a synagogue. I go to the synagogue every week. And here Paul, he says this. He reasoned with them. Look at verse, and then we'll get back to Galatians. Verse 17 and verse 2. He says, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days. Now we can see, one Sabbath day, okay, I slipped, I'm sorry, I won't go back again. Two Sabbath days, now you're just right out disobedient, Paul. The third Sabbath day, what do you say now? You have no intention of obeying this agreement. But again, Paul knew there's no difference. And to prove that, look at verse 16 or 17.
Where are we now?
Yep, 17:10. 17:10. He leaves Thessalonica. He goes to Berea. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, that is Berea, went into the synagogue of the Jews. What? Okay. Look at verse 17:16. He leaves Berea. He goes to Athens. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he
in the synagogue
with the Jews. Now, here's right fresh out of the meeting. And he's already went to three cities and went to three Jews, three synagogues. One of them three times.
He's definitely following somebody else's orders.
He's definitely following somebody else's orders. And it's not Peter or James, Cephas, and John.
Well, they were just pillars. They're not the foundation.
Listen, back to Galatians. Good point.
They don't run the show.
Good point.
They're supposed to help the show go on.
Good point. Matter of fact, look at Galatians 2, verse 6. He says, when they talked about it, he says, we didn't give place, we didn't allow them to circumcise Titus. He says, we gave place to them, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue. Verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Like Gerald said, it says he didn't care who they were. And Ed said, because he knew what he received. So they could have all agreed and said, we believe circumcision is binding. What do you think Paul would have done?
He wouldn't
have circumcised. He said, it makes no matter to me what you believe. We know that God has superseded circumcision.
Right.
And we talked about that, and Karen was, after 2,500 years of circumcision, here's a man who's a Jew, who was circumcised the eighth day, pops up, and literally like a pop-up, he pops up, and he says, what you've been doing for the last 2,000 plus years...
Right.
doesn't mean a thing.
Right, exactly. It's
no longer valid.
No longer. Where'd you get that from?
Revelation.
He says, I didn't get it from the 12, that's for sure. Because we know that, don't we?
Well, he really got it because tradition is a strong thing.
It is.
It's very powerful.
Very powerful.
But when he had the revelation with the Lord, he got it. And then he could look back on his experience. He was circumcised on the eighth day. It didn't make him any better.
Right.
So, you know, so he got the revelation plus experience that backs up God's revelation. He knows. Oh, I know that.
But see, his experience is all in Jewish. He said, "You, I profited in the Jews' religion."
Right, right.
Above many, my experience meant something to him. But what overrode his experience and tradition was what?
Revelation.
The Word of God to him. And that's what's got to override our experience and our tradition.
Exactly.
But it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, it should.
It doesn't today. It doesn't. Our experiences and our tradition, it holds a lot of weight. Because we don't want to give up those things.
I got a prime example. And I have been thinking about this today. And the church I go to, you know, mostly Pentecostal type, you know. And they would lay hands on each other and fall out. Well, you know, I look at that and I get to thinking, I wonder if that's is that really biblical? So I go and look in the, you know, through the Gospels. And what I do is I look at Jesus. If I never see Jesus do it, I know something's wrong right there. If Jesus never did it and he's God, there's something wrong. And I'm looking at that, they falling all out and so what is this all about? You know, they tell me, well, you know, Paul got knocked off his horse and he was, you know, blind. But he was blind. You know, these people get up after a while. He was blind. Was it for a couple of days? Was it a couple of days?
3 days.
Yeah. But they get up a couple of minutes or whatever. So, you know, tradition. You know, I love to go to the Bible. I love to look at Jesus as my example and see, you know, and use the Bible and really look at it and say, there's something wrong with this picture here. You know?
Right.
But when you're dealing with tradition, man.
Did you explain that to him?
Not yet. I will.
But here's another thing, too, Gerald. Is how many times you look in Scripture and were just not just Jesus or the 12 or Paul or anybody who healed. They always, and we were talking about this, Satan is a great counterfeiter.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm laying them out, if I put my hand on them and I'm laying them out and I am a counterfeiter, what the real method was when they go to people, they tell them to do what? To get up.
Right, right.
And they don't never lay hands when they fall out. It's always get up. Rise, get up, awake. But you see it on TV, and it's they're pushing it, and they wave their hand, and everybody's falling over.
You. People will push you. They will be pushing me. I'm like, wait a minute now, and get all on your heel. You know.
But it's experience, mm-hmm. experience, and you have to. You have to override experience.
Amen.
With this.
Amen.
You know what? You have to be willing to do it. This is God's point of contact right here. Not our experience. Because what happens is you go in next week and you need a bigger experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like this with Gideon. He said, Lord, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I want the dew on the grass and I want the cotton soft.
That's the first time.
All right, and it happens. Okay, well now I want the cotton wet and the grass dry, and he does that. So, but what we do is go in is, you know, I was running out of gas in the And the Lord, you know, he let me coast into the gas station. Just something silly like that. But he's not operating like that today. If I were, if God wants to do a miracle, couldn't he just gas it up?
Oh, he can fill it up.
While you're on the fly?
Yeah.
Do you got to coast into the gas station?
No.
So, but experiences, you know what Peter said this in, Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, we were with him in the Holy Mount. You remember Peter, James, and John were there? And he showed him his glory.
Mm-hmm.
He showed them his glory.
When he was transfigured.
When he was transfigured. And Peter said what?
Build three
temples.
He said, it's good to be here, Lord.
Right. It's good for us to be here.
He said, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He says, and we were, because they were questioning his coming back. You know what he told them? Know what he wrote to them? To the Jews? All right. Hold your hand in Galatians and look at 1 Peter. Second Peter 1:21. Well, 1:18. He says, and this voice, 2 Peter 1:18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. You know what? I got to go back. Let's go back to 16. I'm sorry. We're going to look at this experience. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not. You got it, Frank?
No.
Second.
What's it come at?
2 Peter 1:16.
I don't feel so bad now, Frank. There you go.
I'm sorry.
2 Peter 1.
Yeah,
1:16.
Yeah, yes. 1:16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's talking about the experience on the mount. We saw his glory.
That was experience.
That was a great experience. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He says, we have also a
more
sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye what?
Take heed
as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, back to Galatians. Now he's saying, we had an experience.
A most wonderful experience.
He says, but I have something that's even more sure than an experience. Is I could point back to the prophecy. And his word says he was coming back. So you don't have to trust what I saw or what we heard. Just read it. Just read it, and then you could be convicted. Isn't that easy?
Yeah.
Because you won't leave out of here and say, well, Ed said, or Frank said. We'll always say, look at verse here. And then, you know what? You take the argument up with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like that. They hold on to tradition, and then they'll argue, and you say, where'd you get that from? And they'll say, well,
can't remember.
We've always done it.
Right.
It's always been this way. We've been doing this for 50 years. That's the church fathers.
Kind of like the politicians.
Or et cetera. But you say, well, what about the verse? Well, what does the verse say? Well, what did the lady tell you? You don't believe that literally, do you?
It sounds like Ms. Coleman.
Yeah.
Way Ms. Coleman.
Oh, yeah, the last night we saw her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, back to Galatians. Let's try to cover something here. So, all that to get Paul in the heathen. He's
to get him in the synagogue,
right? So he knows there's no difference.
Exactly.
He's been given the revelation that there's no difference. And they said, verse 11. But he says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
Didn't fear God, he feared James and John.
Listen, Peter was not just a apostle.
Mm-hmm.
He was the stone. We just remember last week we saw that. He was the stone that the Lord had given authority to. And here's a man who the Lord gave him a pre-revelation about going to the heathen with Cornelius. Do you remember when the Lord let the sheet down and he says, go to the, or rise and eat? That was typical or typifying Gentiles. And he told the Lord, he said what?
Not I, Lord. I've never eaten anything.
He had to do that three times. You think he was steep in his belief?
Oh, yeah. He was denying the Lord because of tradition.
He said, let's not get the Word of God mixed up with, let's not get the tradition muddled up with the Word of God.
That's what he was doing.
I never eat anything common or unclean. Now, this is the Lord giving him a revelation. Not so, Lord. One more time. Not so, Lord. One more time. In the mouth of
three.
He's establishing this truth. Rise and eat. Then he drops it on him and says, what I'm really talking about is some people coming to see you. I want you to go to the Gentile. He's paving the way to meet Paul. Because Peter is the leader. He's the leader. If I'm closing the program out, I've got to let my leader know that the program's over. Why would I leave him out in the dark? Right? So he goes in there and he goes to the Gentile. In verse, the revelation, he knows. When they meet in Acts 15, he says, they're sitting there hashing it out, and he says, well, wait a minute, brothers. You know how the Lord showed me that the Gentiles were okay.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I had the revelation. Remember that? He told them that, didn't he? In so many words. Now, what would make Peter eat with Gentiles if he didn't know there was no difference?
If he didn't know?
What would make Peter? He wouldn't cave in to Paul.
Well, he saw the sheep.
Well, I'm saying the truth, a advanced truth,
right?
That he knows there's no difference.
The Lord is showing something.
He knows.
Yeah.
They know.
That's why he's eating with them.
Right. That's why he's eating.
It's okay.
James knows. Peter knows. John knows that there's no difference. So Peter he goes, he's sitting in Antioch eating with the Gentiles, and here comes that certain from James.
Liberty spies.
But it said this. It says, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them. You know what? See? He's no different from us. He's no different from us. We can look back and say, oh, Peter, you had the revelation. Peter, you were the apostle.
Should have,
we can ride in on him and, oh, you should have never done that. If I was back there, I would have never done that. But we do it, you know what? And we do it often. Give an example. You can try this out on your own. We go to different churches. You go to a church. Most of them are Baptist church. This is the area. You know, this is it. Baptism. I talked to a guy in the class, and we're sitting there. We're going through this baptism. He said, "Well, I know it doesn't save." After weeks and weeks of teaching, he said, "Well, I know it doesn't save, but if you want to be a part of our assembly, you had to be baptized."
Cause and effect.
But if he embraces the truth would realize that there's how many?
One.
There's one. And it's not.
Not water.
And it's not water. But tradition, fear would say, B, what do you think about baptism? You think a man could be saved without being baptized? You think a man could join this church without being baptized?
If I didn't know any better, probably, I fear.
And fear, or even knowing. But if you get the right person, you was like, well, personally, I'm not that hard about it. Yeah. Y'all hang around the Grace Baptist. You know what? It'll come up. Where are you? I meet with preachers and deacons every week. And I have to speak boldly as I ought to speak. But inside, I'm fear and trembling sometimes. Because I know what I'm saying is against the grain. Mm-hmm. I know that. And part of me says, well, I know where I got it, and I believe it. But the other part of me says, well, you don't have to stand for it, not so hard. Mm-hmm. Not.
That's so confident. That's what you do. You just hold this book up and say, this is where I got it.
But that's what Paul, listen, even Paul said this. He says, pray for me. Pray for me what?
That I might have boldness.
To speak the mystery of the gospel, mm-hmm, as I ought to speak. Paul?
He was a tough hombre.
Paul, you know what? When he was in Corinth, he says, I was with you in fear and trembling, just like, and the Lord had to appear to him and says, be of good cheer. He says, I have many people in this city, and they won't hurt you. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
What is, if he says that, what about us? Oh, we could talk a big grace talk. You know, I believe the Bible, all stand on the Word of God, anywhere, anytime. You know what? You wouldn't even do it with one-on-one. What a one-on-one encounter would buckle you. Okay, thank you.
Well, over where you go to church, it's the same thing. Everybody goes to that church. They're expecting to see all of that falling down and pushing people back.
It's a lot of churches like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not picking on your church, mm-hmm, but it's cause and effect. And then the same thing happens when you go to a concert. somebody gets out there in front of you and they tell you when that sign comes on, applause, go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you just sit there and it's cause and effect.
Mm.
And those people come to that church, they expect somebody to fall down and lay there, right? That's been going on for tradition. It's a tradition.
Or they expect you to do whatever they want you to do. You know, I go to, anyway, I go, I'll say this one thing. I go to one place, and every time the guy gets up and he says, everybody stand up. And he goes through that thing, and everything in me is saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't. Why are you doing that? He doesn't even believe what he's saying. But I get up because I don't want the people to look at me and say, what's wrong with him? And I do the same thing. Just, my Bible.
Did he actually say the words too?
Yeah, you know what? I go through the...
We would never do that.
Hey,
honest.
Did he recite the Lord's Prayer too?
Well, he didn't go. He didn't do that, but
no.
But he goes through the thing, you know. But I know it's just like Paul said. I become all things to all men that I might save some, and I don't want to. That's, I don't want to close the door over something silly like that.
Yeah, we went to church where they did, and they'd all put their Bible up, and I was a money collector, so I was standing out there close to in front of everybody when they started, and I just lowered my head while they were putting it up there, saying, Lord, please give me the courage to just stay here, and that's what I did, but I'm sure it didn't get me.
Now, what?
Church.
How did you feel a little pressure?
No, a lot of pressure. I had to be talking to God the whole time.
Yeah. So I mean, and it's other it's
reality.
Thank you.
Paul,
those are things that right.
Peter went through it. We go through it,
and we're gonna. But what? And Paul did this. He said, "Look at verse."
There's only one person passed that test with flying.
That's the Lord, right? He says this, and he says. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now, his words have weight.
Oh, look at Barnabas.
He says, right, listen, this man, you picked me up. To, you know what? You kind of got me started where the Lord... You know, we went to Antioch. They traveled together. They went. He saw all the fruit Paul did around the Gentiles. Barnabas went to the Gentiles. He was with Paul in all those cities in Galatia. And then he's there. Peter's there. Barnabas is there. Titus, the Gentiles and the Jews. They're all sitting down having a meal. Then here comes the deacons. Here comes the deacons and the prestigious ones from Jerusalem, and they come into the meeting. You can see maybe everybody, all Gentiles were here, Jews, Gentiles eating, and they come in, and there everybody's eating, and all of a sudden, Peter. Peter gets up, then the Jews get up, move over. Then Barnabas, he gets up and moves over. And the Gentiles are, you know, just sitting there. You can probably imagine they're like eating and...
What's going on?
That's right.
Hey, Peter, hey!
But if Peter hadn't got up, the rest of them would have stayed there too.
If Peter hadn't got up, the rest of them would stay too because they're looking at the leadership. They're looking at the leadership. So, Paul, being the leader, he says, look at verse 14.
What? Galatians.
Yeah, 2:14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all.
Oh, no more private thing.
He says, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He says
something like that in the Acts, didn't it?
Well, I mean, that's where he got. It was revealed to him. There was no difference in. But he says, you know that there's no difference now. You know they're saved by grace, just like we are. We're not saved by observing these distinctions. So why are you making a distinction now?
Because the church traditionalists or legalists that don't acknowledge that.
Right.
Have walked in and they're afraid.
And they got caught with their hands on the barbecue.
They got caught doing right. They got caught doing right. But when those guys walked in, they knew
right.
It was wrong in their eyes.
Right.
So
they were guilty.
You know, this was a long time ago, back in Pastor Stam, where. You know, you want to read a good book. It used to be called The Controversy. I think it's called something else now.
Yeah. Hold
Holding Faithful. Yeah.
Faithful.
But there was a very well-known preacher. And I want to say, I know one of them was Harry Ironside. Mm-hmm. And the other one was M.R. DeHaan. Mm-hmm. And they knew the grace message. Mm-hmm. They knew it and they wrote about it. But when the pressure came down on them, they switched. And both of them wrote books disclaiming what they had once believed and what they once taught. And Pastor Stam wrote him a letter. He said, you know, brother, I'm looking at your book right here. And I can give you the page, paragraph, sentences where you backed it, and now you change your mind. What made you do that, dear brother? That's what Pastor Stam talked. They said,
because they were going to lose their position with the group of churches or whatever, right? If they had made
that's right. Yeah. Look, Dr. Ironside,
man.
Dr. DeHaan, Pastor Stam.
Right.
Who?
Like Peter that night, huh?
Dr. DeHaan?
M.R. DeHaan. That's right.
Radio Bible. Radio Bible Fight
in Chicago, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Harry Einstein was out of Chicago.
So, but Peter, he says, I withstood him to the face. He says, I didn't wait till the meeting was over.
Right.
He says, I went right over there where he went to.
Can I talk to you over
and
here?
Said, what are you doing?
Right.
You know. Can you imagine that? They probably look like, whoa, what's going on? Where he said, I withstood him.
He had boldness that day.
I withstood him to. It's the truth of the gospel. This is for us. That's for us. This is written for us. Because we got to know, Paul is writing for us. He says, you need to know there's no difference. That God is not preferring the Jews today over Gentiles. There's no difference today between the Jew and the Greek. A man is saved by grace through faith plus nothing. If Paul would have buckled in chapter 2 in any point,
the message wouldn't be there.
Look like
there
John
you go.
And the other guy on Ironside.
Listen, J.C. O'Hare. J.C. O'Hare, you familiar with J.C. O'Hare? Anyway. That was one man that was solely responsible for the grace message being filtered through Chicago, Wisconsin, and Michigan, where I'm from. There's nothing but grace churches in northern Michigan. But not now. Not like they were. Here's a man. Look at this, how bad this is. Thank you. This man had a radio station. He bought a radio station. He bought a radio station.
Yeah.
For 20 years, I think. They broadcast it in Chicago every day on the radio. He wrote hundreds of books and booklets. They preserved the booklets. Guess how many audio recordings they have of J.C. O'Hare?
Two.
From a man who bought a radio station to broadcast the gospel. And after all those years, all those messages, they got two audio sermons of J.C. O'Hare.
How long ago was that?
In the 1930s.
It's a black guy or white guy?
It's a white guy. Who? A black guy would buy a radio station? In the 30s.
That was Sears and Roebuck, right?
Anyway, but what I'm saying is, this is a man who stood for the message.
Right.
But you got to realize too that as hard as he was going for it, there was somebody who didn't want him to be spoken about.
Right.
They didn't want it to go out.
Sure.
Guess who won?
The adversary.
He won because all those people piled into his North Shore. This was a big, like, Bellevue.
Mm-hmm. Same picture.
In the 30s.
And listen, the man was all over. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew all the big preachers went in there. They all fellowshiped together. They know him. They know him. And he preached that message faithfully. He didn't waver. And after all those years, J.C. O'Hare. That's where Pastor Stan got it. Charles Baker. Richard Jordan. Us. You're like three people away from this thing not even being heard about.
But he couldn't withstand that pressure.
Oh, he withstood the pressure. It's this. Look, Paul said this. He says, "The things that thou hast heard of me," Paul, "to Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." When J.C. O'Hare left that pulpit,
he didn't have no faithful men, right?
Something happened where that word didn't go out in the magnitude that he was putting it out.
But what's different from that than from Paul saying at the end that he stood alone, that everybody...
Exactly. That's the point is when Paul's writing, he finished up 2 Timothy, he said this. He says, "All in Asia have forsaken me."
They had it and they went back to
all in Asia. Ephesians, Colossians. All those people are gone. He says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." That's what's going to get you.
The price.
We got to stop. But the... look to chapter 2, and we'll stop with this. All the elements are here. Look at chapter 2. What's the matter? No, okay. Chapter 2. Look at these elements here. This what Paul fought against. Galatians 2. He says, "I went up by revelation." Chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated. Right? Communicated unto them the gospel which I preach." Verse 3. "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek," was what? Compelled. To be what? Verse 5. He says, "To whom we gave place By what? We gave place not for an hour that the truth of the gospel might what?
Continue
with you. Verse 7. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was what?
Committed
unto me. There you go. You got all the elements right there that'll make or break a ministry. Right there. I was looking at that and I said, that's it right there. First thing is, if the adversary, he wants to shut you up, don't talk about this.
Or you can fail it too.
Don't talk about it. If I can shut you down, if I can shut you down from getting it out, it's done. But if he can't get you, he said, but then, you know what? I put you back under religion.
If you want to join this,
if you want to join this, if or whatever they want to put on you.
If you want this paycheck to keep rolling.
Right, right.
Simmer down, boy.
See, you know what? Until you get in that situation, you cannot say, I won't do that. You just cannot do it. Because it's powerful.
Right.
The next thing, you end up
compromising. Holding up the Bible.
Holding up the Bible. And chanting.
This is my phone.
But you pick one, it'll get you. And then the last thing is, after you. The commitment to it is gone. It's gone. So you end up sitting in the midst of the religion again because you folded to one or all of these. And it's in the gospel, the truth of the gospel, you've compromised. It's done. It's done. So somewhere along the line, that's where Paul, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, stir up the gift that's in you. He says, I'm writing to you greatly reminded of thy tears. Why is Timothy crying? This is what would make a grown man cry? Pressure. Pressure. He says, be not ashamed of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. He says, nobody likes you. Nobody likes this message. Nobody wants to hear it. Everywhere I go, they beat me like they beat you. Like they beat Christ. He says, I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired of all the pressure. I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of every word I say, I have to fight for it. He says, forget it. And Paul has to write to Timothy. He says, stir up the gift. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. All you have to do is stick with it. And you know what? It won't be just words on the page anymore. You'll start experiencing some of that stuff and you'll see how big of an apostle we have. And the truth of it is, how could you give up something that's going to free a man? Free, it'll free him and set him in heavenly places. And when you're watching a man struggle, doubt, perform, and still not sure, and you walking around with the answer. You walking around with the answer. And you it's like the man in John where the Lord, he sees the man laying there. He's been laying there all that time. And he walks up to the man and he asks him a question. You know what he asks him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get well?
Wilt thou be made whole?
Mm-hmm. I paraphrase.
That's a good one.
Wilt thou be made whole? Mm-hmm. The man sitting right there at the place of blessing. We laughed about it before. Long as he'd been there, he could have just rolled on over. rolled over into the pool. Wow. But he's sitting right there. And he says, I don't have nobody to pick me up. That means you don't really want it. And when you find the people stuck and you take them this, and he said, well, you know what? You don't want it. They don't want it. Because he don't want it.
Yeah.
Some of these, one or more of these is got them. What would stop a man from being free?
Right here between his own ears.
That's right. Let's stop. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent in your word. We pray that we would take some of these things and meditate on them. As Karen said, marinate on them, that the prophet might appear in our lives. Lord, open our understanding to the grace that you've provided for us. Give us a desire and more opportunities to learn what you've done for us. We thank you once again for the time we spent here. We pray that things were done to your glory and for our edification. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I heard somebody say the other day that the wind is to...